You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
On an afternoon that saw Galway comfortably beat Laois to qualify for the semi-final of the Walsh Cup, Connacht have been thrown another lifeline after what happened today in the European Champions Cup. It was a dramatic day in the last 16 of the Connacht Junior Cup in rugby. Galway knocked out of the Oscar Traynor Trophy in soccer and action in basketball. A very good evening. Welcome. It's the Full Time Whistle. John Mulligan with you for the next hour, and we have a lot to get through. We're going to start off with the Walsh Cup. Let's give you the results on that one. Galway 6-20. Laois 2 goals and 20 points, and Dublin 2 goals and 31 points. Antrim 1 goal and 20. Looks like it'll be Galway and Dublin in the semi-final of the competition next weekend. Last Friday night in the FBD League semi-final, Galway beat Leitrim to qualify for the final 218-117. They would play Roscommon in the decider after Roscommon beat London by 21 points to 1 goal and 9 last night. Just to mention as well, in rugby in the Champions Cup, Connacht were beaten 34-20 by Leon, but incredibly, this afternoon, it is not good for Saracens. They have been beaten by the looks of things, 43-15 by Bordeaux Bègles. So it does mean that Connacht have, incredibly, a technical outside chance of qualifying for the knockout stages of the Champions Cup if they finish fourth, but they would have to win with a bonus point against Bristol, with Bristol getting absolutely nothing, and Saracens to home and lose at home to Leon without gaining a point. So it's still very much open for Connacht. There's still a half a chance, well, maybe half a chance next weekend. In the Connacht Junior Cup, wins for Craigs, Ballinrobe, Ballinasloe, Dunmore, Connemara, Castlebar and the University of Galway, with a dramatic quarter final draw earlier on today, which will see Dunmore take on University of Galway. Castlebar will play Ballinrobe, Ballinasloe will take on Sligo or Buccaneers. They have a free weekend, and Connemara will play Craigs. In the Oscar Traynor Cup, Galway beaten 2-1 by Sligo Leitrim. Mayo beat Roscommon by 4-1. Galway's journey is over. Sligo Leitrim, Mayo qualify. Mayo qualify in top, and with action in the Super League. And also just in handball as well, we've had quite a bit of good news to tell you about regarding Galway handballers in different competitions over in the United States. So all of that to get through and more between now and 8 o'clock, and that's where we are going to start with is hurling. Galway comfortably winning by 6-29-220 over Laois in the Walsh Cup. The match report from Niall Canavan.
Galway defeated Laois by 6-29-220 in their Walsh Cup game played at Dugan Park this afternoon. The result sees Galway into a semi-final meeting with Dublin next weekend. That said, Laois started impressively, and it was 1-2 to 5 points after 11 minutes. Laois thundered into the game and had 4 points on the board inside the opening 7 minutes, with Jared Quinlan, Aaron Dunphy and Stephen Maher to the core. Galway's first score was a goal on 4 minutes, when Donal O'Shea picked out Alex Kinnear and he shot past Inder Rowland, and when Gavin Lee pointed soon after, Galway led by 1-1 to 2 points. It was 1-2 to 5 points on 11 minutes after Donal O'Shea got on target for Galway. Galway though up the ante significantly between the 11th and the 18th minutes, and they went from 1-2 to 2-6, with Galway's second goal coming from Declan McLaughlin after he was once again set up by Donal O'Shea. Indeed, McLaughlin scored 3 goals, while Kinnear making his debut, he scored 2 goals and a point. He was a late addition to the Galway team following an injury to Jamie Ryan in the warm-up. Galway had some good points in the latter stages of the first half, with Tom Monaghan and Jason Flynn on target, while Donal O'Shea hit 3 points in that first half, including 2 from play and 1 from a free. Pádraig Mannion surged upfield to score as well, while for Laois, they got a goal on 25 minutes when Stephen Maher goaled after getting a pass from David Dooley, and at that stage it was 2-8 to 1-8. However, Galway answered this goal with 5 unanswered points, with Gavin Lee, who once again impressed at midfield, scoring 2 points, with Jason Flynn also on target, as was John Cooney, and by half time Galway led by 2-13 to 1-9. In the second half, Galway completely dominated. Their third goal came in 42 minutes when Declan McLaughlin got in to score his second one, and it was 3-17 to 1-10 at that stage. And by then, Evan Nyland had come on. Indeed, he came on at half-time, and he helped himself to 7 points in that second half, including some from frees, from play and from a 65. Galway's third goal, or fourth goal, that also was scored by Declan McLaughlin in 46 minutes, and that meant that he had scored a hat-trick of goals, and Galway led by 4-17 to 1-12. Galway kept pressing, and further scores came from Evan Nyland from 65's Gavin Lee from play, while substitute Sean O'Hanlon was also on target by the 50th minute, with Stephen Maher the main man for Laois, and by then he had scored 1-6, but Galway led by 4-20 to 1-15. In the latter stages of the game, Galway again added two further goals, with Alex Kinnear getting Galway's fifth, while their sixth goal, that came from Jason Flynn, and in a late cameo from Flynn, he scored a goal and 2 points in 2 minutes to put Galway well in control. He also saw a penalty excellently saved by Enda Rowland following a foul on Ian McGlynn. McGlynn was also on target late in this game. It was a game that Galway dominated throughout, apart from the opening stages of the game, and as I said, they will now go through to the semi-final, where they will play Dublin next weekend. They got game time into the likes of Evan Nyland and Ronan Glennon today, while some of the younger players also stood up, with Gavin Lee once again prominent in the Galway team. For Galway, Jason Flynn, he scored a goal and 9 points. Alex Kinnear got 2 goals and a point. Declan McLaughlin got 3 points. John Cooney, he got a point, while Pádraic Mannion got a point. Donal O'Shea got 3 points in the first half. Ian McGlynn and Sean O'Hanlon got a point upon their introduction, while Evan Nyland, he finished the game with 7 points to his name, while Gavin Lee was also prominent, adding another 3 points to his tally from last week. In the end, Galway won comfortably over Laois. 6:29 for Galway. Laois 2 goals and 20 points. Niall Canavan for Galway BFM.
After the game, Niall spoke to Galway manager Henry Shefflin.
Henry Shefflin, in the end, good to get the victory over Laois.
Yeah, I suppose it was after last week's disappointment of getting 55 minutes, but I suppose the game last week wasn't really a game because the fog was so bad. So obviously today it was just important that we got in a full 70 minutes and we didn't come out with too many injuries, I think, which is important as well. So overall, no, you'd have to be pleased with the performance, but as everyone's probably telling everyone, it's very early days. But no, look, to be fair, I think the lads performed very well, looked very dangerous, thought there was some very good passages of play. And to be fair to Laois, I thought physically they fronted up, especially in the early doors, and they're some very nice players there as well, and they hurt us. Obviously they scored 220-221, so but look, it was pleasing from our point of view.
You mentioned injuries. I think Jamie Ryan picked up one, I think, before the start of the game in the warm up.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that's the joys of he was just on Jamie's one, just prone to a little bit of injury, so partially he's felt his hamstring. It wasn't that too bad, but there was no point in risking it whatsoever. So but otherwise, no, I think it was all right. And to be fair to Christy and the groundsman here in Ballinasloe, led the pitch in very good conditions, and it was a nice day for hurling, and that's why I think we saw such a high scoring game.
And these games are for guys to make an impact. We saw Alex Kinnear got 2-1. Declan McLaughlin, fine form last year, 3 goals today.
Yeah, and it's really, I suppose, you know, probably my perception of the Welsh Cup was probably a bit different, because from my playing days I probably didn't participate in it too much. But for a player trying to make the breakthrough with the condensed window, this is very important for those players, because you need to perform well in these games. You need to be holding on to your position, because we are trying different players. But if you're playing well and you're a newer player, you're going to continue to play. So I think it's a very important competition for some of those newer players, and that was pleasing for us, that some that did perform fairly well. I suppose the hard part now, Niall, is that we run into the Fitzgibbon Cup starting this week, and it's very taxing on players that they're out playing here on a Sunday, and there's so many games coming. So look, we'll review that next week, and we're happy to be in the Welsh Cup semi-final, and we look forward to that game as well.
And that Fitzgibbon games, obviously it's hard for the players as well to manage everything between inter-county and Fitzgibbon.
It is, but I think it's incumbent on us as management teams that we kind of manage that load as well, the training load. And to be fair to the managers that I've dealt with, everyone is very fair. So, and it's a very important competition, so I think it's it needs to be given its due rewards in that sense. But for us, look, it was another step today, and we move on. It's the amazing the way once January comes, the matches just keep on coming ticking fast. So as I said, look, it's important that we have another game next weekend, and we look forward to that.
And some of the more established players got a bit of game time as well. Evan Nyland came on at half time, Ronan Glennon came on as well, so they're sure they're easing their way back into it.
Yeah, no different any in the county. I think we've had a lot of injuries pre-Christmas, to be fair, so some of those players are only starting to come back now, and it'll be good to get those back in the next few weeks. And the thing that's important as well is that you keep them on the pitch, so managing that load is good. But look, it is really a development competition, and that's what we're using it for, we just hope to get a couple of players out of this competition.
Ronan Dennon played at wing back when he came on. He played there as a minor, obviously, with your own team. He's been midfield and in the half forward line. Keenan Fahey in defence as well. Is that something we're likely to see as the year goes on?
Well, think we're likely to see it at the moment, Danny, in Niall, to be fair. So it's something we went in, to be fair, to both Keenan and Ronan, they would have played there for their clubs. Yeah. So it's something that we look at. And I think, look, in the modern game, wing forward, midfield, wing back, they probably overlap a lot as well. So look, I think, again, you can try these kind of things in these kind of competitions and let's see how it goes.
And we saw Galway get 6 goals today. Could have got more as well. You fairly well opened up the defence. Is it obviously goals were on mind?
Yeah, of course, you are looking to see if you can, but you need the players inside and outside to work together like that. So as I said, look, it was good to get the goals today, and as I said, we could have taken a couple more, but as I said, you don't mind missing them. I think one of the moments of the match was obviously end of Roland's save from the penalty. I don't know what it
brilliant
looked like
save,
on camera,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it looked like a brilliant penalty and a brilliant save. So I think people come to these competitions want to see a bit of goal mode action, so they got plenty of it today, both sides.
And finally, you're playing Dublin next week now in the semi final, another good game to get.
Yeah, you told me they're Dublin Bet Antrim today, so yeah, no, it is, it absolutely is, and both teams are trying a lot of stuff. So I said it's we train Tuesday, we train Thursday, and we look forward to next weekend then.
And lastly, obviously next weekend the All-Ireland Club Final is on as well. St Thomas is involved, and I'm sure you know the O'Loughlin Gales lads as well. So from a Galway perspective, to have those guys involved is good to see, and obviously we'd be hoping that Thomas is get over the line in that from a Galway perspective.
From Galway, yeah. I think for Galway hurling, just what Thomas has did in the All-Ireland semi-final was a great boost, truthfully, and also after their underperformance last year in that stage. So of course it is, and it's important, I suppose. You know, we saw just the intermediate and the junior, the strength of Kilkenny teams in this competition. The Thomases have a proud record, and I'm really looking forward to that game next Sunday. It should be a cracker. It should be a great game.
Now that's Henry Shefflin speaking to Niall Canavan. Now, I just received a notification, and we mentioned it earlier, but I want to just repeat it. So the Guard of Honour for the late Brendan Maloney is on in Ceylon Hurling and Camogie Club this evening, 7:15. I'm just making sure I've got the time right. So if you are on your way and you're there, it's just at Ceylon Hurling and Camogie Club, 7:15. You're asked to wear your club colours if possible. Of course, the late great Brendan Maloney passed away a couple of days ago, and of course, who can ever forget the famous Buck Rogers premises. And they sponsor, of course, they sponsor Galway Hurling as well, and a great supporter of Galway Hurling. And to his family and many friends, we send our deepest sympathies. I'm going to just move to other action in the Walsh Cup today. Lee Chin scored 2-7 for Wexford. They put Carlow to the sword. Wexford winning at 3:20 to 19 points. And as you heard, Niall and Henry there when they were talking, Dublin beat Antrim by 2 goals and 31 points to 1 goal and 20. In the Munster Hurling League this afternoon, Cork beat Clare by 124 to 24 points. Tipperary beat Kerry as well, 128 to 1 goal and 14 points. In football, Donegal will play Derry in this year's final of the Dr McKenna Cup. Jim McGuinness's men beat Monaghan in the semi-final by 414 to 11 points in Castleblaney. In the McGrath Cup, it'll be Cork and Kerry in the final. It's after the Rebels got the better of Waterford by 1 goal and 20 points to 6 points this afternoon, and Tipperary finished their pre-season with a 111 to 10 point win over Limerick. Speaking of competitions, one game that was played on Friday night saw Galway overcome Leitrim in the Connacht GAA Dome in the semi-final of the FBD League. They will play Roscommon in the final next weekend after Roscommon beat London by 21 points to 1 goal and 9. Here's a report of Galway's win from Kevin Dwyer.
Galway 2 goals and 18 points, Leitrim 1 goal and 17 points. A largely experimental Galway side enjoyed a tight but deserved victory in this semi-final of the 2024 FBD League played at University of Galway Connacht GAA Airdome in Beacon on Friday night. The sides were level at least 10 times during the course of the game, with Galway leading by 10 points to 9 at half-time. The introduction of substitutes during the game had a big bearing, and Galway's Rory Cunningham from Ballygar added 2 crucial goals to the Galway scoreboard in the second half. His first in the 37th minute put some daylight on the scoreboard. Galway won 14 to 11 points. It was Cunningham's first touch after he had been introduced and came about due to a fine turnover in defence by Liam Boyle, who passed on to another Galway sub, Keane Darcy, at midfield. He fed Charlie Power, who showed great strength, to breach the defence and cut inside to feed Cunningham, who goaled in great style. This score might have been enough to set Galway on the path to victory, but Leitrim showed great fighting spirit to come back. Though they were 3 points behind as the game entered 6 minutes of added time, and having just lost Conor Reynolds to a second yellow card followed by a red, down to 14 men, Andy Morden's side sought to score a major by bombing high balls into the Galway square. It paid off at the third attempt when the rangy Barry McNulty rose highest to fist to the Galway net and level the scores of 117 apiece. It looked like the large attendants in the Dome were going to enjoy a spell of golden score to sort out a victory, but the young Galway team had other ideas. Orden Burke's long kick out was fielded by Keane Darcy. He quickly passed to another Galway sub-chair, Galway's Barry Goldrick, who found the unmarked Cunningham, and with the Galway forwards pointing to Cunningham to put the ball over the bar, the St. Brendan's player had other ideas and buried the ball past Nevin O'Donnell in the Leitrim goal, 2-17 to 1-17. And Galway still had time to fire over another score, a well-deserved point for another substitute, Ryan Monaghan, who had made a major contribution when introduced. This put Galway 4 points clear and into the league final next Friday night at the same venue at 7:30. Galway started with a largely experimental side made up from Dermot Blake's development squad and featuring some of the best young players that had featured for their club teams at various levels. Orden Burke replaced Conor Flaherty in the goal before the throw-in, and the young Cora Finn man had an outstanding game, pulling off a number of quality stops, commanding his goal area and picking out some great passes on his kickouts, in particular the last effort that led to Galway's winning goal. The defence worked very hard and several showed up very well, including cornerbacks Kilkerran Clonburn's Liam Boyle and Clonbird's Dara Varley. The halfback line of Keane Monaghan from Oak-Durard, who fisted the first half point, Jack Curran from Milltown, and Daniel Flaherty were very solid, with Flaherty, the Salt Hill Mac McCarraman, scoring 2 first-half points. Midfield was well served by Cora Finn's Kieran Brady and the introduction of Keane Darcy after 27 minutes. The attack was always lively, but guilty at times of over-elaboration and some missed passes. However, for the most part, they showed great flair and potency, with 5 forwards on target. Most effective of these, in Galway BFN's man of the match, was Micheál Brannock player Killian O'Quirin, who notched 6 points, 3 from frees. On Spithale's Anthony O'Lee, returning to wearing a Galway jersey from his stint abroad, was powerful at centre-forward, and he scored 3 points. Salt Hill Nat McCarra's Charlie Power showed great strength at full forward, also scoring 3 points, 1 from a mark, as well as being involved in some of the most important scores. Rory Cunningham took his 2 goals, showing great composure, and was unlucky a third time when his ball went narrowly wide. He also scored a vital free kick, bringing his tally to 2 goals and 1 point for the night. 2 other forward substitutes showed up well, Dunmore's Shane McGrath, who fisted a point, and the late introduction of Clare Galway's Barry Goldrick, who showed some blistering pace and helped create the winning goal. For Andy Morden's side, they will be disappointed at the missed goal opportunities that they failed to convert and not being able to hold out, having achieved a late draw and added time. Their scorers were Dara Rooney, 6 points, 4 from frees, Barry McNulty with the goal, Shane Quinn had 3 points, Paul Keeney and Pierce Dolan got 2 points each, and there were single scores from Jack Casey, Mark Diffley, Jamie McGreen and Reardon O'Rourke. So another opportunity for the Galway management to continue to progress players from the development squad in the FBD League final this Friday night. It will be interesting to see what further talent may be available for Galway and who will put their hands up for inclusion in the main panel as Pádraig Joyce and his management team get ready for their first encounter in the National League against Mayo at the end of this month. The final score again from the Dome, Galway 2 goals and 18 points, Leitrim 1 goal and 17 points. This is Kevin Dwyer for Galway BFM Sport.
Galway will play Roscommon in the FBD League final on Friday evening. There were 2 All-Ireland club finals today as well. Arva from Cavan, they won the All-Ireland Junior Club football final, beating Listowel by 13 points to 10. Tommy Rooney.
It is full time here in the Junior Football All-Ireland club final, and Cavan's Arva have beaten Listowel Emmets of Kerry on a scoreline of 13 points to 10 in Croke Park. Arva needed to do this one the hard way. Despite taking an early 2-point lead, they allowed Listowel Emmets to take charge in the second quarter and found themselves 3 points behind at the break. Arva started the second half as they did the first, though, hitting the first 2 points at a half, and by the 43rd minute their captain Kieran Haller-Brady kicked them into a 1 point lead. Kevin Boucher added two frees to bring his tally to four, and Peter Morris hit his third from play to leave it a 3 point game hitting into injury time. Arva's victory today was built off the back of their hard-running duo Kieran Brady and Tristan Noah Kaufman in midfield. They kicked 6 points between them and really took control in the second half. In truth, Listowel really never got going after the second quarter burst, where they scored 7 from 7. The Junior All-Ireland Football Club title heads back to Cavan for just a second time as Arva run out deserving winners on a scoreline of 13 points to 10.
Yep, and the intermediate final, that went to Cullyhanna of Armagh. They beat Cork's Killamatra by 1-8 to 7 points. Back to Tommy.
St. Patrick's Cullyhanna are intermediate All-Ireland Club football champions after they've beaten Killamatra of Cork by 4 points on a scoreline of 1-8 to 7 in Croke Park. A goal and 3 points in the first half from county captain Aidan Nugent was the foundation on which Cullyhanna built this victory. Nugent's 20-minute goal put daylight between the sides for the first time, and Killamatra never really clawed it back. Twice the John Evans managed side got the gap back to 3 points, but they couldn't get any closer. Cullyhanna goalkeeper James Carher made one brilliant reaction save with 6 minutes to play, and another right at the death from Dan O'Donnell. Nugent top scored for Cullyhanna as Shea Hoey and Gavin Duffy kicked 2 fine scores when the pressure was on, and county star Jason Duffy sealed the win in the last minute with a fine point. The Intermediate Ireland Football Club title heads to Armagh tonight as St. Patrick's Cullyhanna run out deserving winners on a scoreline of 1-8 to 7 points.
Now we're going to take a break. After the break, we are going to be looking at rugby, Connacht's defeat to Leon, and also unfortunate disappointment for Tuamuix Derard in the Women's All-Ireland Junior Cup final when they were beaten by Barn Hall. That's next.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
You're welcome back. We're going to go to rugby. Connacht beaten by Leon 34 points to 20 yesterday in the European Champions Cup. And around about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it looked like all was lost. Then, bizarrely, two results went their way. One of them this very afternoon, Bordeaux have hammered Saracens by 55 points to 15. And yesterday, Bristol were also hammered by the Bulls. So there is a chance of making the knockout stages at the most optimistic, it has to be said, the Champions Cup, but Saracens would have to lose very heavily to Leon, who topped the group at the moment. But it all boils down to Friday night, and Connacht now needing to beat Bristol and getting a bonus point win while keeping their opponents to nothing in the line of points. Let's get the report of the game from Rob Murphy.
Leon 34, Connacht 20. Connacht's European hopes hang by a thread after a comprehensive defeat against Leon on Saturday afternoon. It really was a case of Leon having the firepower and Connacht missing the opportunities in this contest. They scored first through a try from John Jansen, who ran half the length of the field, but then conceded 20 unanswered points to a Leon team that just seemed to be picking up the breaks and capitalising on the Connacht errors. That was the key going into half-time, with them leading by 20 points to 5. Yet Keane Prendergast's try just in the closing stages of that first half gave Connacht a glimmer of hope, and after half-time, Connacht's maul led to a second try, Tadhg McIlroy scoring at the back of it just 5 minutes into that second half. At that stage, with the conversion good this time, having missed the first two conversions, JJ Hanrahan kicked that one to get them within 3 points, 20 points to 17. It was very much game on, but Leon did have the answers. They scored next to go 10 points clear, and when Connacht had two visits to the 22 and lineouts in prime position, they really didn't succeed in making it happen. The first was a misfiring lineout that was crooked and led to a scrum for Leon. The second was a maul that was pulled down by Leon, legally, said the referee. Connacht might well dispute that, but they can only blame themselves for some of the other errors they made in this contest. Closing stages saw Abrahams get a second try for Leon and wrap up the bonus point for the home side, who ultimately were the better team. Connacht still will have a lot of regrets, though. A 34-20 defeat means their Champions Cup hopes are all but gone as we record this report, and their Challenge Cup hopes hang by a thread. If they finish fifth in the group, they still have a chance of scraping through to the knockout stages of that competition in early April. But next Friday night against Bristol, they now have to win with a 4-try bonus point and deny Bristol anything in the contest. That seems unlikely. It's a huge test, and Connacht ultimately have to accept that they just haven't been good enough in this tournament this year. An opening day defeat to Bordeaux, the defeat to Saracens, and now Leon just underlines as much. Final score, Leon 34, Connacht 20.
Let's get the reaction of Connacht head coach Pete Wilkins.
Pete Wilkins, chatting to Joe Joyce, a lot of disappointment coming from the players, management I'm sure as well. This is Champions Cup done and dusted, and as we record this we're not even sure if Challenge Cup is still a possibility, so it's a really disappointing night, isn't it?
Well, it's frustrating because I think when the bits where we put some phase attack together, and I think the bits where we had the ball in the attacking half, we looked so dangerous, and I think for us the game was there for the taking. I think, you know, people would have seen it as a surprise result had we done it, but we had so much belief coming into it and we saw those glimpses to show we could do it. And I think particularly in that third quarter where we accelerated and really sort of assert ourselves on the game, you know, I felt like we were having some momentum there, that you know, we were putting our fate in our hands. And then, you know, the back quarter of the game, I think you know, Leon turned up the physicality and they obviously got a few bends on the edge and took the game away from us, or at least prevented us from being able to really sort of rein them in. So that's the frustrating bit. I mean, the bigger picture of the Challenge Cup, of course that's there as well, but right now it feels like an opportunity missed in terms of the game itself. And you know, if we'd got that bit right, then there's a big knock-on effect in terms of all those competitions.
You say they took the game away from us, but did you take the game away from yourselves a little bit as well?
Well, I think the first quarter of the game I thought we started brightly despite not having much of the ball. And the second quarter, I think when we started to look really threatening, we conceded a bunch of penalties that really run us all the way through to half time. I think obviously got on the wrong side of the referee at scrum time, and there were three or maybe even four penalties there that I think were really significant in terms of not just giving Leon points from that, obviously in terms of converting those penalties or kicking to touch and getting them all in the game, but it was preventing us from playing more. So I think that run of penalties was crucial. As I said, when we had the ball, we were in good shape, and I think you know, had we just been a little bit tidier in that second quarter, I think we'd had a real platform to go after them, because if their score doesn't get out to 10 points, you know, they start to play the game differently and they're a bit more twitchy, and you know, you can really start to apply some pressure. So yeah, there's a frustration there, definitely.
So, like, you know, you come into this game, I'm curious about Bundiaki and Finlay Beelam. Are they decisions that you're making? I know you have to rest them to a certain amount. Did you say this, they'll hold off on this one and go for Bristol, or just talk us through that?
Yeah, look, we do have to rest them, and we do have to we can't play them every game between here and the Six Nations, so you know, that's decided for us. But at the same time, you know, we can work out how and when we use them. And you know, certainly for us, you know, we felt that you're in one of two situations: either in a situation where you're looking at them physically and going, actually they need a week off, and certainly that's the case in terms of Finlay, in terms of the amount of rugby he's had since he's come back to us, or you're looking at them and saying, which game is the right game? I mean, there's no perfect game, is there, to not play some of your best players, but which game is the right game to not use them? And in Bundy's case, we thought about Ulster originally, but he was improving so much with every game that he was playing for us, and Ulster became such an important game in the URC context. He and we were keen to keep him going. Munster, he was never going to miss, and then, you know, it's a choice between Leon and Bristol, and, you know, Bristol being a Champions Cup game at home, regardless of the context of the competition, you know, we want our best possible team out there for that. So it's a process of elimination in some ways. It's not ideal, but at the end of the day, it's about looking after their bodies, and it's about sending them into camp after that Bristol week with giving them and the national team the best possible chance of success.
You could have done without Jack Ainger pulling up before the game. You could have done without Dylan Tierney Martin. Do you feel like things are a bit stacked against you at times? Maybe even some of those refereeing decisions, we were watching them all in the second half, that we felt was pulled down. I don't know how you feel about it.
No, well, look, I think in terms of, you know, the pullouts on the day, it's always frustrating. I don't feel the fates are against us in that sense. That happens, and you get a few of those every season. We've actually been fortunate not to have had, really, apart from the Joe Joyce one in Ulster, we hadn't had anything this season. So in that sense, you know, I think at some point you're going to have it. It's a shame we had two today and two in the front row, and particularly I think Jack Ainger had been going so well. When you're looking at those opportunities to you know, give, say, Finlay a break, a compulsory break, you know, it softens the blow, I suppose, when you know you've got someone like Jack who's there and been doing such a brilliant job, and you know, any other team would be starting week to week because he's you know, he's a quality player. So yeah, there's a frustration with that bit of it, as I said. And you know, in terms of the refereeing piece, like I think every week there's decisions we don't agree with, and you know, particularly away from home, it's always a little bit tougher perception wise with scrums and mauls.
Look, as we said in the commentary, obviously there was a lineup before that was crooked, so it's control the controllables would be your point. How important is it that Connacht are out of
probably going to be out of Europe now this early. Like, how much of a blow is that to your hopes and plans?
I think if that's the way it plays out, of course it's a blow. You know, I don't think we'd say otherwise. Like, we're you know, everyone wants to win, and everyone's determined to be fighting on two fronts, and you know, to be exiting Europe if that's the way it plays out. But either way, exiting the Champions Cup, you know, it is a blow, and you know, none of us will hide from that, because as I said, we want to be achieving and want to be, you know, making everyone proud. You know, at the same time, I think if we get the job done in the URC, I think we give ourselves finals rugby this year, and if we can get into those knockout stages and progress like we did last year, then that doesn't stop the season being a success. And I think when you stand back and look at it, the important thing is that we give ourselves the platform to be competing in Europe's best competition year on year, and that's where the consistency will come for us, and that's where the growth will come across the sort of medium and long term as well. So look, I wouldn't be judging our season on this. I think we'll, you know, we'll take stock when we get to the end of the URC. But of course, we want to be competing in European rugby for as long as possible.
And they now have, like I said, a half of a half chance of making the Challenge Cup playoffs. And incredibly, even the Champions Cup playoffs, if certain things go their way. Bulls were beaten yesterday by Bristol by 31 points to 17. And then today, in a game that no one expected to see a result of like this, Bordeaux beat Saracens by 55 points to 15. So it pretty much all boils down now to Friday night, Connacht and Bristol at the sports ground, and Connacht have to beat Bristol and get the try bonus point, and then we see where it goes from there. There was heartbreak yesterday for Chumuk Darard in the Women's AIL Junior Cup final. They led 6-5 for pretty much 99.9% of the game. Unfortunately, injuries went against them, and Barnhall got the try at the end to break their hearts. The report on the game from Tomás Keating.
MU Barnhall 15, Chumuk Darard Colts 6. It was heartbreak for Chumuk Darard Colts as they lost Saturday's Energia Women's All-Ireland Junior Cup final at Shane Murtagh Park in Mullingar. It was a bitter pill to swallow for this young side, who created history by becoming the first team from Connacht to make it to the final. They led 6-5 heading into the final 5 minutes, but MU Barnhall used all their big game experience to retain the All-Ireland Junior Cup for the second year in a row. However, it was a phenomenal achievement for Chumuk Darard Colts to make it this far in only their second season with a senior team. With the majority of their panel being in the 18 to 21 age bracket, there's no doubt they'll be back this time next year. It was Owen Lydon and Norman Tierney's side who led after just 3 minutes, as Eva McDonagh kicked a penalty to put them 3-0 up. However, MU Barnhall came roaring back as they put together a good team move, and prop Hope Loney gave Lauren Patterson a lovely offload as she touched down in the corner. Skipper Ciara Faulkner's conversion went wide as the Leinster outfit led 5-3. Chumuk Darard Colts were down to 14 players for 10 minutes as Gráinne Hassey was sent to the sin bin, but they navigated it well as they almost had a try. Scrum half Rachel Farkin jumped over the line and tapped it down, and despite the roar from the large Colts following, referee Mark Hines called it as a knock-on. There was a stoppage then for 5-10 minutes as winger Neil Lydon suffered a knee injury. But when action resumed, right on the stroke of half-time, McDonagh put her side in front with a penalty to make it 6-5 at the break. Despite Chumuk Darard Colts' dominance in the opening 20 minutes of the second half, MU Barnhall's defence stood tall to keep out big carries from Nick Dunica, Bevan Gleeson and Carly Tierney. The second half went on for over an hour as Abigail Gibbons was stretching off with an ankle injury, Captain Sarah-Jane Fox had an Achilles injury, and Niamh Corliss had to be carried off with a leg injury. That stop-start nature hampered their momentum, and it was MU Barnhall who thrived as Prudence Isaac and Sinead Farrell began to get them up the pitch with big carries. With 5 minutes left, Faulkner put MU Barnhall in front with a penalty, but the killer blow came when Rebecca Francis drove over for a try. Faulkner had the final say as she slotted her conversion, cueing wild celebrations from the girls in sky blue. That's a full-time score of MU Barnhall 15, Chumuk Darard Colts 6. Reporting for Galway Bay FM, I'm Tomás Keating.
Yeah, and you can hear the reaction from Owen Lydon. He was speaking to Moss. We played it yesterday on Saturday Sport, and that is up now on goalwaybfm.ie. And if you want to listen back to Galway and Laois again in commentary, you can. That's up there, plus full reaction on goalwaybfm.ie. We're staying with rugby for a brief moment. The Connacht Junior Cup last 16 this weekend. Craigs beat Corinthians 19-18. Bannrober 52, three winners over Ballinas seconds. Ballinasloe beat Loughrea by 29 points to 12. Dunmore produced one of the shocks of the competition, beating Westport 33 points to 18. Connemara beat Galwegians 50 points to nil. Castlebar beat Tuam 19 points to 14, and the University of Galway beat Cork 26-24. There was one game in the preliminary rounds that was played today, and that's how Buccaneers beat Munavee by 31 points to 14. Was once the dust settled, the draw took place for the quarterfinals. Let's go, Park. Let's get this draw underway. So the first team that's out and we'll have a home game in the quarterfinal of the Bank of Ireland Connacht Junior Cup is
Dunmore.
Dunmore have been given a home draw and they will face Kieran.
They will play University College of Galway.
Okay, so Dunmore will play the University of Galway. Next team out, Park.
Castlebar
at home. So Alan Bann will be very happy to hear that.
They'll have to buy me a pint.
They will, and definitely. Will he be so happy after this, though, Kieran?
Certainly Noel Mannion won't be buying me a pint. It's Ballinasloe.
Ballinasloe, who were very impressive today against Loughrea, got off to a great start. They will be making the journey to Castlebar. Pádraic, the next team that are drawn at home. And remember, we still have Buccaneers and Sligo as well, as they have the last 16 game to play. Yeah. So do we have a redraw?
We have. We have a slight problem here. Noel Mannion mightn't be given out to me. It was actually Ballinrobe who will play Castlebar local derby, I think.
So Ballinrobe will play Castlebar, is that correct?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so Ballinrobe. So Ballinrobe will play Castlebar, and that means, you did mention Ballinasloe when you named them, so they will be the next team out. Yes. So they will be at home. So yes. Ballinasloe, I hope that they weren't cursing so much that they didn't actually hear that, but they are now out and they are at home, and they are at home too.
And this is the one that Ballinasloe will be idle, because they will play the winners of Sligo or Buccaneers.
So Ballinasloe have next weekend off. They will play the winners of Sligo and Buccaneers, who play next weekend in the last 16 of the Connacht Junior Cup. So we now move to, I'm noticing something here. Let's just keep going. Home team, Pádraic.
Connemara.
And
I'm sorry, John, but your old alma mater are heading out west.
Oh, Craig's, my God.
Craigs are playing Connemara.
Oh, my sweet divine. You know what? I did say it was an open draw. This is going to be a game for the ages next Sunday. Connemara at home to Craigs in the Monastery Field. Wow, that is some game. Right, let's recap the draw once again. Dunmore will be at home to the University of Galway. Castlebar will be at home to Ballinrobe, an all-Mayo clash. Ballinasloe will have a free weekend because they will play the winners of Sligo or Buccaneers, and Sligo and Buccaneers meet next Sunday in their last 16 tie. And finally, Connemara will play Craigs in the quarterfinal of the Connacht Junior Cup. And you can hear that draw in full. That will be up on goalwayfm.ie shortly, because it went on a little bit. There was more to it, and we'll play it. We'll give you the full one on goalwayfm.ie a little bit later on. In the Energia League, Corinthians beat Sligo by 10 points to 7. And that was in Division 2B. They're still second to Estonians, who had a runaway win over Belfast Harlequins. And Galwegians are still top of Division 2C after they beat Ballina by 29 points to 16. Right, we're going to take commercial break, because still to come, we are rounding up local soccer, basketball and racing.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
On the weekend that saw Galway knocked out of the Oscar Trainer Trophy, there were other games as well taking place across the Galway League. Rounding it all up is Mike Rafferty.
Well, there was no joy for the Galway League in the Oscar Trainer Cup this afternoon, as in the McSherry Park in Sligo, they were beaten 2-1 by the home side, and the result exit the competition. Sligo Leitrim led by 1-0 at the break, courtesy of a Mark McGoldrick goal, and 8 minutes from time, Malachy Spratt added a second. Adam Duffy pulled one back for the visitors in the closing stages, but it wasn't enough to rescue Galway. Indeed, a draw would have been of no use to them either, as Sligo Leitrim had a better goal difference. Elsewhere in the group, the Mayo League defeated Roscommon by 4-1, meaning that Mayo and Sligo Leitrim advanced from the group to the knockout stages. Now, with the Oscar Trainer team in action, there was no Premier Division games, but in the Championship, University of Galway consolidated their top spot in the table as they remain unbeaten. They were 6-1 winners over Merv United B in Dangan yesterday afternoon. Owen Fahey got two of those goals. Dave Mooney, Leon Daly, Jack Joyce and Daniel Feeney were all in the mark for the home side, while Adam Healy got the lone goal for the visitors. One of the nearest rivals, West United, were beaten 2-1 by Tuam side Dynamo Blues yesterday afternoon. Vanden Suarez got their opener direct from a corner, while Jamie Cohen scored the second for Blues from a tight angle. Jason Grealish seized upon a Sean Keogh pass to pull one back for West in the closing stages. They did force plenty of pressure, but they weren't able to recover as Dynamo Blues held on for a 2-1 victory. Now, the other team that are joined second on the table, they're Moyne Villa. They were due to play Corryfin United this morning, but that game did not take place. As I'm told, the line marker would not work, and as such, the lines could not be put down on the pitch, and hence no game. Perfectly understandable reason. So that was that particular game. Mind Mary Oranmore B, of course, were fourth on the table. Goals from Barry Smith and Massimo Pina gave them a 2-0 win over Corrup Celtic. And the other two games played in the Championship, it finished all square between Corrup Rangers and Tuam Celtic, as they shared four goals. Gavin Connell and Mike Swinhoe were on the mark for the Tuam visitors, Jack Flaherty and Dave Golby for Rangers. While out in Letter Frank, Jake Bann rescued a point for West Coast United with a late equaliser after Rob Gannon got their opener. They finished 2-2 with Knocknacara, for whom Rory O'Brien scored both goals. University of Galway continue to lead the table. They're on 31 points. They're 10 points clear of Moyne Villa and West United. Both of them have games in hand. In Division 1, whether it's a shock or not, we don't know, but Crawhall United were unbeaten up to today in their first 11 games, but they were beaten 2-1 at home while a game played out in Mary by McDara this morning. So McDara, goals from Emil O'Lynchy and Dylan Choiga, names I'm sure we're familiar with from Navanna from during the GAA Championship during the summer, gave them a big victory against Crawhall United. Of course, McDara are joint second in the table along with Saltill Devon B. They were 4-0 away winners over St. Pat's this morning. Shane Sutton, Dan Hoare, Stephen O'Reilly and Eugene Graney all in the mark for Devon B in that contest. They are the Cosharriga are, of course, are fourth on the table. They were 3-0 winners over Merlin Woods yesterday. Seamus de Bourke got two of those goals. Their third came from an own goal. Credit to goalkeeper Damien Blade, because he also saved a penalty for Cosharriga. The other games played in Division 1, Uchtaraird shared the spoils with Craig Mortlair Galway because Oisín Fleming got a late equaliser for the home side after Dean Greeley had got the opening two goals for Uchtaraird. And so that means that Crawhall are 6 points clear of McDara and Saltill Devon B, with Cosharriga in fourth place, but they do enjoy games in hand. In Division 2, leaders Athenry B were comfortable winners over Mary Oranmore C on Friday night. Jack Maguire, Christian Mullen, Nathan Jarvis, Adam Wynn, Thomas Float and Ian Hewitt were all on the mark for the home side, who lead the table by 4 points from Kiltulla. Now, Colga and Kiltulla were due to meet, well, did meet this morning in Clarence Bridge, but I'm told that the player got injured in that game and the game was called off as a result. However, fourth place, well, they were in fourth place, but they have moved up the table now, of course, Barnina Furbica. Jack Byrne set up the match winner for Jordan Powell for a close range finish in the latter stages, as Barnina Furbica defeated Corrup Celtic B by 8-0. So they're the top four teams. Athenry B are 4 points clear of Kiltulla, and Barnina with Colga B also in the mix. Elsewhere in the remaining two games in Division 2, Kilmarnock United defeated Moyenvilla B by 4-0, and Carpin United B were 3-1 winners over Loughrea B. In the Women's Senior League, Sulta Devon, Athenry, Colga, courtesy of an Isabel Haw hat-trick, who, as they defeated Loughrea by 4-1, and Mary Orton Moore were all winners in the Ladies League over the weekend. And next weekend, it's FAI Junior Cup action. Of course, there are three Galway sides still involved. So for Murphy United, Mary Orton Moore and Knocknacarra, they're all looking for a place in the last 16 of the competition.
Two games in the Premier League, Manchester United and Spurs. The evening game finished in a 2-2 draw. Peter Smith.
United 2, Tottenham 2. United got off to a flying start as Hoyland find them ahead inside 3 minutes. That was cancelled out by Richarlison's header from a Porro corner. Rashford then rediscovered his scoring touch with a brilliant finish 8 minutes before the break. But Tottenham were level again immediately after half time through Bendicoff's fine strike. They continue to dominate possession thereafter without creating too much in front of goal. It ended United 2, Tottenham 2.
And in the opening game, it finished scoreless between Everton and Aston Villa. Shane Pennington.
It's Everton 0, Aston Villa 0. It's been a fairly even but scrappy game this one so far, but both sides have missed really good chances in which they could have led. The most controversial moment of the first half came on 18 minutes when Alex Moreno fired into the back of the net from 25 yards out, but after a very lengthy VAR review, Clement Longley was adjudged to have been offside and the goal was ruled out. Ollie Watkins and Leon Bailey have also been denied by Jordan Pickford, whilst Everton missed two really good chances at the end of the half. Dan Juma playing in Dominic Calvert-Lewin one-on-one, and his effort saved by Martinez, and then James Garner just moments after with an 18-yard drive again, forcing the Aston Villa goalkeeper into an excellent save low down to his left. It's Everton 0, Aston Villa 0.
To basketball, reviewing the weekend where all Galway teams were involved. Adrian O'Neill.
The big game of the weekend was the local derby between Mary and Macquillan, which Mary won by just 6 points in a thoroughly entertaining game. The first quarter saw Macquillan score 4 3-pointers, but Zvonimir Kutic and Terence Lewis combined for 13 points to see Mary lead 21-19. Cathal Finn was the star of the show in the second quarter for Mary, as he helped his side to a 9-point lead with 3 3-pointers. Despite this, Macquillan stayed in touch with 4 players scoring 5 points each, including James Kinnear, who scored the last basket of the half to reduce the deficit to 4 points, as Mary led 45-41. The lead constantly changed during the third quarter, with Macquillan's offensive performance much more consistent throughout the game than we've seen in previous weeks. But Terence Lewis, Tamir Gadsden and Owen Rockall all scored well to keep Mary just about in front, 62-60, going into the last quarter. For the vast majority of that last quarter, a similar pattern was followed, whereby Mary would stretch their lead to 4 or 5 points and Macquillan would bring it back to 2 or 3 points. Despite good scores from Kyle Cunningham and Patrick Lyons, Macquillan never actually took the lead in the last quarter. John Burke scored 8 points for Mary in that last quarter, helping them to a 6-point win. The top scorers for Mary were Terence Lewis with 20, Tamir Gadsden with 16 and Owen Rockall with 13. The top scorers from Macquillan were Grant Olson with 20, Patrick Lyons with 15 and Josiah Larcy with 13. Final scores: Mary 82, Macquillan 76. In the InsureMyVan.ie Men's Division 1, Titans suffered a loss away against Team Northwest in Donegal. Titans played well for most of the game, but had no answer for Christian Simmons, who scored 40 points for Team Northwest, including 13 in the first quarter, as Titans saw themselves trail by 9, despite some nice offensive work from Deontay Robertson. However, Titans only scored 13 points in the second quarter, and they trailed by 12 at half-time. They managed to reduce the deficit in the third quarter, with Deontay Robertson, Sam Mensah, Cole McCormick and Brian Gaffney all scoring well. But the closest they got was within 4 points, with a minute to go in the third quarter. And Team Northwest went on to see the game out well. Top scorers for Titans were Deontay Robertson with 30, Sam Mensah with 15 and Cole McCormick with 13. Final scores: Team Northwest 93, Titans 81. Finally, this afternoon, University of Galway Mystics put in a very impressive performance in the Misquote.ie Women's Super League, but fell just short against DCU Mercy in Dublin. DCU Mercy won the first quarter 27-20, but by half-time, Mystics had levelled the game at 49-all, with Sarah Mesler having one of her best offensive performances of the season. Despite scoring 49 points in the first half, Mystics only managed 24 points in the second half. The positive for Mystics, though, was that they limited DCU Mercy's scoring as well. In fact, Shannon Cunningham helped Mystics to still be level going into the last quarter. Mystics never managed to take the lead in that last quarter, but Shannon Cunningham once again scored with just over 1 minute left to level the game, and an upset was definitely on the cards. DCU Mercy, though, went on to score the last 5 points of the game to get the win. Top scorers for Mystics were Sarah Mesler with 21, Shannon Cunningham with 12 and Emma Glavin with 10. Final score was DCU Mercy 78, University of Galway Mystics 73.
There was racing in Punchestown. Here's George.
The Grade 2 Moscow Flyer Novices Hurdle, won by some impressive winners in the past, was the featured contest today at Punchestown and went in fine fashion to the JP McManus-owned Willie Mullins train Mythical Power, the first progeny of the brilliant Annie Power to grace the track by Galileo, who hadn't been seen since winning the opening four-year-old Novices Hurdle at the Galway Festival last July. Well, Mythical Power on that occasion beat Samwai, who franked that form in the Larratique Hurdle at Listowel, and on this occasion Mystical Power ran out a very cosy winner in the end. Briefly looked in trouble turning for home, but the 5-4 favourite answered every call from Mark Walsh and was an authoritative winner in the end, and now looks on target for a crack at the Supreme Novices Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival, where the hard pace, I think, is certainly going to suit this McManus-owned runner. The chief supporting contest was the Skybet Novices Chase, and that went the way of Spillane's Tower for the Jimmy Mangan Yard, who collared the 5-2 on favourite Blood Destiny after the last Blood Destiny jumped well enough in the main to front, but looked in trouble turning for home, and Spillane's Tower was always gaining the upper hand in the final strides. Racing opened with success for the Philip Dempsey train Kate's Hill in the opening beginner's chase, just a point, 15-8 favouritism under Donna Myler, whilst the maiden hurdle at 2-5 went the way of Lisnagar Fortune, who has been an expensive failure in the past. The Paul Townend ridden winner made all the running to beat the Basil Holyoke owned Jericho de Bam in second place, with in third place Mercury, I think, of the front three might be the one to take out of the contest. The Mayor's Handicap hurdle cut up pretty badly. Well, in the end, Idle took the prize for Sam Curling and jockey Philip Enright at 130, whilst Shark Hanlon again showed his prowess at the sales ring as Easy Rocks, the top weight, a recent acquisition from the Peter Bowen Yard under Shane Fenlon, made all to take the opportunity handicap chase at odds of 18-1, beating our selection, Knocknagappa in second place at 8-1, with in third place the Declan Cunningham owned Captain Jimmy. The concluding Amateur Riders Grand National went to the Ted Walsh trade, Hardwired, who scored by 6 lengths under jockey Alex Harvey at odds of 11-4.
And if you're a fan of American football, just one wildcard game on tonight. The Cowboys play the Packers. That game getting underway at 9:30. Last night, the Texans beat the Browns 45-14. And the Chiefs, well, they marched on against the Dolphins, who couldn't handle the cold weather at all. 26-7. The final game, one game called off because of the weather.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
Now we're hearing as well that the game between Galway and Dublin, the Walsh Cup, will be on Saturday at 1:30. No confirmation, but that's what we're hearing at the minute. So Galway and Dublin, the Walsh Cup semi-final, will be down for 1:30 on Saturday. Anyway, that's it for the Full Time Whistle. Thanks for your company. Sport continues tomorrow. Take care. Bye.